So it's our pleasure to introduce and welcome Steve Hawkins from Operation Mobilization. We've been developing our relationship with this organization over the last 3 years or so, and recently over Christmas we were able to provide a gift to support frontline refugee assistance. So Steve is here with his family, Esther and Susan, so welcome Steve.
Well, good morning. Well, that was a little bit feeble. Let's try that again, shall we? Good morning.
Good morning.
That's much better. Isn't it great to be alive and to worship and praise the Lord? You know, I was thinking of my mother and father-in-law who both gone home to be with Jesus. And I always remember them saying to me, Stephen, when we've gone, we have not gone. We've just graduated to glory. And we're going to be singing with the angels in glory. And what a joy that is to know that. When we leave this earth, that we go to be with Jesus and we go to praise the Lord and we are dancing with the angels in glory. It's wonderful. Well, as you know, my name is Steve Hawkins. I'm from England originally, born and raised in England, come from an Orthodox Jewish family. We always went to synagogue. We always went to Shabbat meals every Friday night. We always went to the synagogue and on Saturdays. We always pray, keep on moving, Baruch atah Adonai. We used to do this all the time. And I tell you, when I came to know Jesus or Yeshua at the age of 12, the first thing I did was go home and tell someone. I remember coming to the Lord way back in 1966 and at Billy Graham Crusade in London, England. And I was told, go home and tell someone. So I remember getting on the bus going up to Birmingham, and my friend David says to me, what happened in that room? I said, I can't tell you. And he said, why not? I said, because I was told to go home and tell someone. And so therefore, when I got home, I ran into my home and I shouted, Abba, Abba, where are you, Abba? And my father came running from upstairs thinking, what on earth has happened to my son? Where's the fire? I said, there's no fire, but I found the Messiah. My father then, on Monday morning, took me to see a psychiatrist. And on Monday morning, I sat in that psychiatrist's office, and they did all kinds of tests on me. And you know what they found out? I'm normal. Isn't that great? I have a certificate to say I'm normal. How many of you have a certificate to say you're normal? And so it's amazing. And so ever since that day, I came to know Jesus, and I've been telling others about who Jesus is. I get excited about my faith. I get excited about who Yeshua is. I get excited because I love to tell people about Jesus. In fact, my daughter's here, Susan, and my wife's here. Sometimes they get so embarrassed with me because I'm not afraid to go and speak to someone. And I was saying to Pastor Dev the other day, I asked him where he came from. He said he's from Trinidad and that he was kind of East Indian kind of background. And I said, well, I lived in India. I was there for 15 years. Up to Hindi Janta. Do you speak Hindi? He said, no, I don't speak Hindi. I said, up Urdu Janta. No, me no Urdu ni Janta. I said, do you speak Punjabi? Punjabi Acharya. No, I don't speak Punjabi. I'm one of these fortunate people that speak 13 languages. And I speak Hindi, Urdu, Punjabi. And of course, Hebrew is my mother tongue. And every time we go out, my daughter will tell me, every time I see a man with a turban on, I get excited. And I go there and say, Sasrikaji, kyal hai bhai sahab, hum sab thi hai. And he just looks at me, and what happens to the mouth? It drops. You speak my language, I'm very happy you are talking my language, you are learning my language. And so I become part of them. And I love to share about who Jesus is. I am very much in my heart, I'm very torn between cultures. Because I am a Jewish culture, and where you celebrate Easter, we celebrate Passover. And I celebrate Passover in my home, and actually this year it'll be on Good Friday. But we bring Jesus into the Passover. And how Jesus became that lamb that was crucified for us. And then, of course, I love the Indian culture, but I also love the Spanish culture. Right now, my wife and I have been living in Chile. How many of you speak Spanish? Hablo españoles. A poquito de españoles. Por favor. You go down to El Salvador and nobody speaks Spanish. Oy, ovey. What are we going to do? So we work in down there in Chile, and we have a great time. And I'm going to show you some pictures before I read the scriptures of our time in Chile. I'm going to ask my daughter to come and run the computer. I'm not computer literate. I'm of the old school. Give me a pen and paper, I'm happy. And then I'm told to write things on computers, and my fingers get all tangled up. So I'm not one of those. But I want to take you down to Chile, and we want to go down to Santiago. Oh, there we go. Look at that. I'm looking at the picture up here, too. Okay, so here we are, my wife and I, Esther. Esther was born and raised in India. Her parents were missionaries there for 42 years. And then, of course, she met me, an English Jew, and now she's confused even more. Because of the fact that her mother came from Canada, her father is Swiss German. How many of you here speak German? Sprechen Sie auf Deutsch? Kannst du ein bisschen Deutsch, ein bisschen auf Deutsch verstehen? Ich kann besser auf Deutsch alles verstanden auch. So meine Frau ist eine Schweizerdeutsch. My wife is Swiss German. And so, next one please. We live in Santiago and so on. This is the Cena de Amor. What is the Cena de Amor? The food of love. We love to give the homeless people in Chile one meal twice a month, or two meals twice a month, which is really wonderful. And so here we are praying before we get started. The next one, Sue. Just keep going here. Here we are unloading the truck. And as we unload the truck, we get the tables ready. We clean up the dirty streets of Santiago. And we make sure that it's all nice and clean. And we put tables out as though we're going into a banquet hall. We put tablecloths, centerpieces. We make sure everything looks really nice. People live on the streets. This is a homeless person. And once a month, I live on the streets with them. I go for a week and live on the streets. I have a cardboard home, and I live on the streets. And this is the way I do my ministry, with the people on the streets. And see, you can see a person in here sleeping. This is all their possessions. We give them a menu to use, and this is what we're going to feed them for the day or for the night. Next. And so we don't want them to come up to get the food. We want to serve them and make them feel special. And many times they turn around and say, why are you doing this? Because we love Jesus and we love you too. And Jesus makes you special. And so they feel wonderful when we give them a meal. We pray with them. We sit down with them. We talk to them. And we pray with them. Next. And here we have one older gentleman, or older, I mean, I think I'm older than he is, believe it or not. I'm 63 this year. And here's a gentleman that came up to me, and this is what he says. Etu mi papa, will you be my father? I need a father. I've never had a father. I've never had a mother. Will you be my mother? And he's lived on the streets for almost all of his life, and he's 41. And he was living on the streets, and he said, I need someone to hug me. And so I hugged him. People say to me, why do you have short hair? Well, when you meet people on the streets, you never know what they have. So I can make sure nothing gets in my hair. That's why I have short hair. But when I'm in Canada, I grow it. So this is Santiago. We also have a church from Haiti. A lot of the Haitians have come down to work. And so they have their own church. How many of you speak Creole? Je parle Creole. No? So here we have a Creole church, and we go and we speak in there. This is my team that you can see, and this team helps me on a daily basis to look after these people in the different areas. Next. We also was in a Mapuche. Mapuche are the natives of Chile, and they mainly live in the southern part, in Temuco and Concepcion and down. And the Mapuche people, they make these wonderful sweaters, and I have some outside on the table. They call them the Mapuche sweaters, and we sell them so that we can keep a child in the orphanage, and we'll get to that in a moment. The Mapuche church. Next. This is a Mapuche hut. This is where we stayed. This is our home. So we have a little fire in the middle. It all goes out. The smoke goes out the top there. And this is a Mapuche person. And this is, they said, is where you're going to stay. Now, if you're anything like me, you're petrified of whatever might come at night. And so here I thought, okay, how do I secure the door? Well, you don't. There's no locks on the door. You just say, okay, Lord, you protect us now. And it's really in your hands. Next. They made me the chief of the Mapuche tribe for one day. It's too bad, because I wish I could have been a lot longer, because I would have put them into shape. Because you see, in the southern part of Chile, you relax. You start at 10:30, you may start at 11:30. You're going to eat at 1, you may eat at 3. It is so relax, mañana, whoa, you know, calm down. But I would have, this is a Mapuche sweater that they make. Next. This is one of our teams, OM teams, in Chile. This is my wife here to my left here. And the fellow on the far side to my right, that is Fabian Tobar. He is part Mapuche and part Italian. but he was born and raised in Chile. And this is our team that we have of OM in Chile. And we work together reaching out to the communities of Chile. Next. This is in the orphanage. We like to make Christmas a special time. And so we take 6 to 8 bags every year from Canada full of gifts for the children in bags, and we take them down to Chile. And then we get ready for a Christmas party. Next. We have water slides. You know, some people have these water slides in their homes and they don't know what they are. And if you don't know what they are, bring them to the church. One day I'll come and pick them up. Because these kids love having water slides. We have fun galore before the meal. Next. We have water fights because it's so hot. Water fights are very good to have. Next. And sometimes what we try to do, even though it's an orphanage, it's also kids at risk. These are kids who have been abused sexually. These are kids who have been abused physically, verbally. And so these are kids that really need some love and attention. And their parents sometimes just drop them off at the orphanage and say, here, you can have them. But what we want to try and do is try and reunite them into their families. And here you see, but this little boy did not want to get any closer to his mother because he's been hurt so many times. Next. So we're all ready for the party. We're all getting all excited. Next. We let the kids come in. And do you know what their favorite meal is? Their favorite meal is pizza and pop. Now, you always like to have turkey and stuffing. They like to have pizza and pop because pizza is very expensive. Next. And then we give out all these Christmas gifts in these blue bags. And in this blue bag, sometimes it says God loves you or Jesus loves you. And we hand them all out. We have a lady that makes these teddy bears for us. We take down 100 at a time and give them to the kids. This young girl here to my left, she is only 13 years old and already had a baby because she was raped on the streets and already had a baby. And that baby is now in another orphanage. Really sad. Next. This is the team of the orphanage team that I work with. And my wife and I here on the left. Lisa to the right, on the far right. She's the leader of our work there in Chile. Next. This is Edgar. Edgar had been beaten so much by his father that his one eye literally came out. Literally beaten so much. And that's why he has a patch on there. Just so that he can get the tension again back into the eye. Edgar has now been adopted and lives in Italy. This is Sandra. And Sandra in the red here. This is Sandra. Her mother and father, there's twins, there's a sister as well, they're twins, and they were put in a garbage bag at the age of 3 months and put in a dumpster. And they found them and brought them to this home. Next. So we fixed up their little home as well, and we had a Christmas party there. And here we are giving them out all Christmas gifts again. We just have a great time sharing the love of Jesus with these kids. Next. This is Sandra. She didn't want to leave me. I wish I could have brought her home. Next. We took a team of Filipino Chinese down to Chile from here in Canada, and they painted this mural. And of course, Jesus loves the children. And anytime a little child gets in trouble, they run up to this picture and just touch Jesus. Jesus, help me. It's really interesting. And of course, this picture has been there now for a little while. When the team left, they decided to sell this home. And so now we're taking down the team again so they can do another one in the other home. So it's really good. Next. We also do evangelism. We call it aggressive evangelism or guerrilla evangelism. And we use a coffin. And the reason we use a coffin, because we always like to have people look in the coffin to see what they see. And they looked in this coffin and there's a mirror there. And I said, what do you see? They said, well, I see me. And I said, that's right. Did you know that the Bible says it's appointed for man once to die and after this the judgment? And I said, we're all going to face God. Now, you can face God today, and you will be judged. Or you can face God and say, I've received Jesus as my Savior. That's why I need to come into the kingdom of heaven. And we have seen many people come to know the Lord, and we sit with them, and we share the gospel with them. And this is something that is done. And this is the new team that started doing this, guerrilla evangelism. Next. We also said, as I said, we live on the streets. So we learn, we teach the students that we have come for 1 year. We teach them how to make a cardboard home. And so we make our own cardboard home. And this was my home. And I had a German fellow on one side and me on the other side. The German fellow said, I've never slept in a room with anybody by myself before. He says, can I put a petition? So I said, sure. So he put the petition. And then he put a hole in there. I said, what's the hole for? He said, at least I can talk to you. Well, anyhow, this was our home, and we lived on this home on the streets. Next. So then you say, okay, what do we do here in Canada? I worked in two countries. No, I'm not schizophrenic, please don't think that. But I work in two countries. I work in Canada and I work in Chile. In Canada, we have an immigrant population that's coming here at a fast rate, and we need to reach out with them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I teach on Hinduism, Islam, Sikhism, Judaism, Mormonism, and Jehovah's Witnessism. And what we do is that we call these challenges. It's a challenge to get to know your neighbor, especially when they've come from another country. I have no problem. I love cultures. I love reaching out to the people around us. So we have the challenge. We did one at Morning Star in Toronto, reaching out into the community around Morning Star. And this particular day, we were speaking on Hinduism and Islam. We went and visited a Hindu temple and a mosque. And then we went out and did evangelism and started reaching out to the people. The team that come from all over the place. Here's one of the mosques that we have. And this young lady came from, her name is Christine. She comes from Trinidad. And she came because her ancestry was also Islam. She knew Jesus and she wanted to know about Islam so she can reach her family with the gospel. Inside the mosque, they've gotten to know me very well. And in fact, I sit down with the imam and I share the gospel with them. And we look at the Quran and we look at the Bible and we share about who is Jesus. And many of them believe that Jesus is just a prophet. But I have proven to them from the Quran that Jesus is not a prophet, but the Son of God. Very interesting. So this is Islam. This is a Hindu temple. This is going inside the Hindu temple. Does anybody know how many Hindu gods there are? 366 million gods in Hinduism. And they have to choose a god. They have to choose the one that they're going to serve. And so these are just some of the deities in Hinduism. Next. Here you see Kali. And here you also see Ganesh, the elephant god. Next. And so we go in, and here I am with the pundit or the priest. We go in and we share about who Jesus is, and at the same time, we get them to share about their Hinduism. And they have come to the conclusion that in Hinduism, there is no resurrection. There's no here life after. There's just the reincarnation cycle. Next. This is also going into a Sikh temple, the people with the turbans on. Next. And so we go and we look at their holy book. We let them read a little bit from their holy book to us. Next. And we go in to Buddhist temples. This is Roland. He came from Uruguay, and he wanted to also learn about this because in Uruguay, there's a lot of Buddhists. Next. We go into the synagogue. Well, the synagogue is my favorite place. I love the synagogue. The closest thing to Christianity is Judaism. Why do I say that? Because the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the Old Testament for the Jews. There's only things missing, such as Yeshua. They do not read Isaiah 53. We do not read certain passages that give us prophecies. And so this is where the problem comes. Here we have the Torah. Does anybody know what the white things I'm wearing are called? These are called the zitzits. And the zitzits remind us of the 613 laws that are commanded in the five books of Moses. And so we are commanded to wear these. Next. Here I am dressed up as an Orthodox Jew, and this is what I'm used to doing, is being an Orthodox Jew, because I come from an Orthodox Jewish family, and therefore we share that, and I want them to understand a little bit more. Next. We do street evangelism. Next. And of course, we just spend time sharing and telling people about who Jesus are. Next. We go door to door. Many people hate door to door. I love it. I think it's great. And many people will close their doors on me. And you know what? I turn around. You're not closing the door on me. You're closing it on Jesus. You're not closing it on me. Next. And so we want to just say thank you for your prayers. When you remember us, just pray for us. Thank you. But we have, in Chile, we have this orphanage that we work in. We work in five orphanages. And we brought some stuff from Chile so that we can sponsor a child. And we can help the orphanages that down there. And we have several things on the table there that you can come and see. When doing evangelism, whether it's in Chile or here, we use the Evangelicube. How many have ever seen the Evangelicube before? The Evangelicube is wonderful because God created the world and God created man. But because of sin, we've been separated. And we've been separated. God gave us something very important. He gave us his son, Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary for us. And so we can show where Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And we know that Jesus was put in a grave. And they were so afraid because they thought that somebody was going to come and steal the body. And so they sealed the grave and they put two armed soldiers there to make sure nobody came. But that did not stop Jesus from rising from the dead. He still rose from the dead and he's still alive today. And because of that, he has made a way for us to go to heaven and to have fellowship with God. But what do we need to do? We need to receive Jesus into our heart. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray, have fellowship with him. And we need to go and tell others. And so we use this quite a bit in our evangelism thing. Because it's so important to tell others about Jesus. So important to go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you turn, if you would, to your Bible, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 40 and 42. John chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 40 and 42. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found his own brother, Simeon, and says to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means the Christ. So, what do we first see here? In the business world, we call this networking. He found Jesus, and what was he did? Andrew went out and reached Simon. He wanted to go and proclaim the gospel. He wanted to say, "Hey, I have found the Messiah. I have found someone who is real. I have found Jesus, who is the real Messiah." And he went out and started telling him. What compelled Andrew to reach out to Simon? We have found something. Folks, we have something in our lives today. We have Jesus, the Messiah. And this Jesus is real. And this Jesus, not only is he real, he's alive today and he's alive forevermore. And one day he's coming back to take us home. You don't find something unless you've been looking for it. He was excited about what he had found. I'm excited about what I have found. I'm excited that I found Jesus, the Messiah. And I went and I told my family right away. Because I was told, go home and tell someone. So I ran home and I was so excited. Abba, Abba, Abba. My father was so afraid he thought the house was on fire. I said, "Abba, I have found the Messiah. He's real." You know, when you found something, you are excited about it. And I found something that was very real. Andrew was excited and wanted to share what he had found. Andrew wanted those closest to him to have what he had. If you have got something that is so special and so precious to you, you want the people around you to have that same experience. You want them to have what you have. And what do we have? We have eternal life. What do we have? We have life that is everlasting. We have life that only God can give to us. I don't know about you, but I've lived in Santiago. I live in Toronto, just outside of Toronto. And sometimes we go downtown Toronto and we see these people going to these bars. We see them going to these nightclubs. We see them going down there doing things that are not right. We see them doing drugs. We see them homeless. And you just look at them and you have pity for them. And you want to give them what you have. And so you go and you want to share and proclaim that good news. The saddest person in the world today are those who do not know Jesus in their lives. They don't share what they have because they know that what they have is not real. We have something that's real. We have something that's alive. We have something that's in our lives. They don't share their talents. They don't share their love. I speak to many people on the streets and share. In fact, as I said, sometimes my wife gets a little bit embarrassed with me because wherever I go, I like to share. Whenever we go into the supermarket here, I go and I say, "Good morning, how are you today?" "Well, you don't want to know." "Well, yes, I do, otherwise I wouldn't be asking you." "Well, you know, I've got so many problems." "Well, would you like to talk about them?" "Let's talk about them. When's your coffee? Let's meet." And my wife said, "Oh, here we go again, here we go again, here we go again." You know, one day we were in the bay, and this lady came to me. She knew I spoke German. She'd heard me speak somewhere, and she came to me and said, "Pastor, kannst du auf Deutsch verstehen? Ja, ich kann auf Deutsch verstehen. Kannst du gebeten für mich? Will you pray for me?" I said, "Sure, I'll pray for you." Right in the bay, of all places. And I said, sure. So I said, well, let's just go around the corner here a little bit, out of the way of all the traffic. So we went around, and I said, what's the problem? She said, oh, I just feel so down, and, you know, I really need to know Jesus better, and I really need to know who he is. And I said, sure, no problem. So I just prayed for her. I did not know she came from a Pentecostal background. Had no idea. So here I am praying for her, and I just said, Lord, just really help her and really put your hand upon her. If I get her into a closer relationship with you. Before I knew it, she was on the floor. I thought, my goodness, what have I done? I've killed her. I had no idea what to do. And my wife looked at me and she said, see you later, honey. I'm going to Sears. And off she went off to another store and left me with this woman on the floor. Then just as my wife was leaving, this woman came around. She said, oh my goodness, what happened? She was the shop assistant. I said, I prayed and she went down. I didn't know what else to say. Is she dead? No, her chest is going up and down. She's okay. And then she got up and she said, Dankeschön, Pastor, Dankeschön. And off she went, leaving me now to explain to this woman what happened. She said, I have to write a report. I thought, oh my goodness. So I said, well, on your report, just write, Pastor Steve prayed, she went down, she got up and walked away. End of story. I go into that same base store and she sees me every once in a while and she says, don't come near me. It is amazing. But you see, you want to share with people. And I'm not afraid to share. Do you know, ladies, you know this. When you go into Walmart or into some store and you see something on sale, what do? You phone your family or your friends. Hey, there's a great deal down at this store. You should come down and have a look. This is the greatest way of literally seeing what's going on, what you found. And of course, many people today, they do that. They start telling people about everything that's new in that store. Or when you go to the favorite restaurant. My favorite restaurant when coming to Sarnia, I like to cross the border and go to Cracker Barrel. I love Cracker Barrel. Don't know why, but I do. And I go there and I love to share my faith with them. And it's just a great time of sharing. And also, you know, when you go to other places, you like to share. Have you ever been on a plane? I've been on a plane. Boy, have I been on a plane. And I was sitting one day on a plane coming from Edmonton to Toronto. And there was two empty seats beside me. I thought, thank you, Lord. You are so gracious to me. I can lie down and fall asleep. Everyone was on board. And all of a sudden, there was two people that were yet to come. And when I saw them come on the plane, I thought, well, you can sit there and you can sit there. I had it all planned. Where did they sit? Right beside me. I thought, okay, God, you have a plan here. So I just kept on going and not thinking about it. And then after that, the plane was getting ready to go. And the gentleman beside me put his head between his legs. And I said, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine. Are you going to throw up? Do you need a bath bag? And he said, no, I'm fine. Are we up yet? I said, we haven't left the terminal yet. So after that had taken place, we kind of got settled in a little bit, and I could see he was uncomfortable, and that he didn't like flying. And I thought, oh dear, I just hope he's going to be okay. So then the engine revved up. We made our way down the runway, and then we got to the point where we were going to take off, and this man put his head between his legs. I thought, he's going to throw up. So I decided to go up sideways. Thank goodness I was in the aisle. And so we took off. The stewardess came by and gave us our breakfast, and he hadn't touched his, and I finished mine. I said, are you going to eat your breakfast? He says, no. I said, do you mind if I have it? So I kind of changed our plates. And so I had his meal as well, and off we carried on. And then after that, they cleared away the plates. I brought out my Bible, and I began to read my Bible. And this person, I thought, you know, I've just had his breakfast. I should introduce myself to him. I said, hi, my name is Steve Hawkins, and your name is? And he never responded. I said again, my name is Steve Hawkins. Your name is? He still didn't respond. So I just thought, okay, just keep reading your Bible. So that's what I did, kept reading my Bible. And eventually he turned around to me and he says, hi, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm very nervous at flying. And he says, so I'm a little bit afraid to. He said, my name is Wayne Gretzky. Oh, I said, pleased to meet you. I said, that's very nice. So then we carried on talking. And then he turned around and he says, he said, what do you do? I said, actually, I'm a minister of the gospel. I tell people about Jesus. And I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a hockey player. I said, no, that's a hobby. What do you do for a real job? He said, no, I'm a hockey player. And I said, oh, but what's your real job? He said, I'm a hockey player. And the guy beside him was Glenn Sather. He looked over and he said, do you know who this man is? I said, I haven't a clue. Haven't a clue. So then after that, I started sharing with him the scriptures. And so I said, you know what? Where would you go if this plane goes down? He said, it's not going down. I said, well, what goes up must come down. So it's got to come down. I'm not going to stay up here all my life. And so we kept on talking about this for a little while. And then after that, we hit some air pockets. And I said, here we go, here we go, here we go. This poor man was shaking, literally shaking. He hates flying. So after that had happened, he said, do you have a family? I said, yes. I have two daughters and a wife and so on. So I showed him the pictures. And he got out his pen and he signed them. And I looked at him and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm signing them. I said, what for? He said, it's a habit. I said, well, it's a habit you should get out of. And I thought no more about that either. And then after that, I went from there and we started talking some more. And then we landed and I gave him my card and end of story. Never thought we'd hear from this man again. Well, the next thing we knew, we were invited to his wedding at St. Joseph's Church in Edmonton. But we had a team that we were taking to Love Europe in Europe, so we couldn't go. And then after that, we met his wife, Janet, and then moved to the States, he did, and he invited us to the christening of his family. And when his father had his stroke and went to St. Joseph's Hospital in Hamilton, he phoned me up and said, can you please go and pray for my father? So I went and prayed for his father. And we've kind of had this relationship, and it's just been amazing. But you hear from him for not for a long time, and then you hear from him again, and then you. And this is something that I love, is because I love to share about what I found. The great commission that we have is to go into the world and proclaim the gospel. The great commission is share what you have found. The great commission is to tell others about who Jesus is. And this is something for me that is very natural, because this is a commandment of God. In Judaism, we have 613 commandments. This is 614, I always say, because it says, go into the world and proclaim the gospel. When Andrew found the Messiah, he went and told Simon. He started sharing what he found. My friend David, who took me to the Billy Graham crusade, if he had never shared about what he had found, I would never have been saved. If he had never shared what Jesus meant to him, I would never be here. David also comes from a messianic congregation. He was also a Jew. We went to school together. We were going to conquer the world with Judaism. But he found Jesus. He told me. He took me to a Billy Graham crusade. And this is what it's all about. If David had never done that, I can guarantee you today that I would never be here today. 95% of relationships I have today are direct results of being a connector, of going out and telling people about what God has done for me. David was not a preacher. David was not a missionary. He just shared what happened into his life. And you know, many of us think, well, I could never preach the gospel. Well, God hasn't called us all to be preachers. But he has always called us to be connectors so that we would share our faith. I'm sure that your pastor is a connector, because that's his job, to be a connector. Sometimes when I go to church and I see churches that are excited about missions, I look at all these names up here and I see El Salvador over. I get excited. Why? Because I know you're active in proclaiming the gospel to people of other countries. And this is something that's so important. But let me tell you something. Today we have people from the countries coming here. We are no longer a sending field. We are also a receiving field. We have literally Muslims, hundreds of thousands of Muslims coming to Canada. We have Sikhs coming to Canada. We have Hindus coming to Canada. We have people from other faiths coming here, and the only connector they may meet is you. And you are the ones that need to proclaim the gospel. And that's why we have these challenges that we have. We have them every year, every summer. There's going to be one in Brantford. And I would love to invite you to come and join us in Brantford. It's going to be in August. You can come and join us for 1 week. It'll cost about $200. That'll be for all the teaching, your food, and everything else. And when speaking with Pastor Dev, he said that he would help subsidize those of you who would like to come. and be part of this program. You see, you don't have to go overseas to be a missionary anymore. It's right here, right on our doorstep. It's your neighbor. It's the people you work with. It's the people that you're studying with. It's the people that surround you. And this is what it's all about, is sharing our faith, sharing what Jesus means to us. It means about going out and proclaiming the beautiful news. Connecting people to Jesus should come as natural as telling someone about the latest restaurant or the latest fashion or the latest homes. It should be the most natural thing under the sun. I remember being in a restaurant with the family one day. And as I was in this restaurant with the family, and it was this Christian restaurant, I think you all know it, it's called Swiss Chalet. Because everybody goes to this Swiss Chalet Christian restaurant after church. How many of you go there straight after church? You see, there's a few of you already with your hands up. And so, when we went to this restaurant, I was asked by the family I was with, would you please pray for the food, Pastor Steve? I said, I'd love to. And all of a sudden, this one young man says to me, please don't pray loud. I said, why not, Tyler? Well, I have friends here over there, and they don't know I'm a Christian. They don't know I go to church. So please be very quiet. I said, okay. So here we had the food come out, and they put it on the table, and Mrs. Seidenberg said, would you please pray, Pastor Steve? And I said, sure. And Tyler looked at me and said, shh. I said, Father, we thank you for this food. And I prayed so loud that the restaurant also started to pray again. Because, and I said, you know, this is something that's so important. We need to let people know. Tyler was just about ready to eat his fries. I said, come with me, young man. He said, where am I going? I said, just come with me. So off to his friend we went. And I said, Tyler, I think you've got something to say. No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. I'm a Christian. Sorry, I can't hear you. I'm a Christian. I still can't hear you. I'm a Christian. And the young man turned around and said, I'm a Christian too. Why didn't you tell me? And both of them started a Christian fellowship in their school, and they saw literally hundreds come to know the Lord. That's what it's all about. We are connectors. I'm a connector. You are a connector. And that connecting means that we are going to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I have a 5-step plan about being a connector. The first one is this. First of all, how is our relationship with God? What is your relationship like to God? Do you have a close relationship? When everything is truly right with God in our lives, we want to invite people to our church. We want to invite people to our homes. We want to invite people to come and receive Jesus as their Savior. But your relationship needs to be right. The second thing I say is keep a positive testimony before others. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, it talks about, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Isn't it great to know that the Lord is near? Do you know that prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes? Do you realize that the scriptures are alive? How many have ever been to Israel? How many of you would like to go to Israel? Wonderful. We'll take you. I go every year to Israel. I do tours to Israel every year. That's when your Bible comes even more alive than ever before, because it really jumps out at you. And the thing is today is that many of us do not keep a positive testimony. We don't keep our faith alive. And we need to keep it alive. Have you ever noticed Christians, that their life goes like this, and they come to church, oh, I've had a great time at church. Monday morning, they're right down here again. That's not what the Christianity is all about. It should be an even keel. Get excited when it's exciting, then come back down a little bit, but not all the way down here. I know that my wife and I and Susan and my other daughter, Melissa, we have gone through many trials in our lives, many difficulties. We had 6 children, we lost 4. And yet God has been faithful. My daughter here, Susan, had cancer of the throat. My other daughter had cancer of the throat. And God has healed them and touched them. We have seen God work. I had kidney cancer 12 years ago, so they removed my kidney. I have 1 kidney. And now they call me the Ever Ready Bunny, because I have more energy now than what I used to have. In fact, my daughter often says, when are you going to slow down? You're 62, Dad. Just slow down, slow down. I can't slow down. Why? Because the Lord is near, and I want everyone to know that Jesus is coming soon. And I get excited. Everyone on my street knows I'm a Christian. In fact, anybody gets lost on my street, they say, go to Pastor Steve. And one day this gentleman came to my home, knocked on the door. I said, yes. He said, I'm lost. I said, praise the Lord, you've come to the right house. And he just looked there, stunned. He said, can you tell me where Osborne Street is? I said, yes, but come in first. And I started sharing with him the faith. I started sharing who Jesus was. He said, I only want Osborne Street. I said, come. And I went through the four spiritual laws. I went through all kinds of things and just shared. Then afterwards, I said, I'll take you to Osborne Street. So I took him to Osborne Street. 2 hours later, folks, he came knocking on my door, and this is what he said. I am so glad you shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. I went to Osborne Street to get some drugs to kill myself. How can I find Jesus? And that night in my home, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. I'm a connector. You're a connector. This is what our faith is all about. Keep a positive attitude. We all have our own little world. We come into contact with people every single day. In our schools, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in everyday places we go, we should make sure that we keep a positive attitude. So important. This will greatly affect the people that we talk to. Pray that God gives us a deeper burden for the lost. How many of you prayed for the Muslim world this morning? How many of you prayed for Canada? How many of us prayed for all those new immigrants coming into this country that they would find Jesus? How many of you prayed for a Sikh? How many of you prayed for a Hindu? How many of you have prayed for the people around you? This is something that's quite natural for me to do, because I work with these people on a daily basis. And it is so exciting because I go out to them. I met a young man the other day, and I asked him where he was from. He said, I'm from the Arab world. I said, where? He said, Palestine. Oh, I said, marhaba, kif Allah. Oh, mabsoot. Oh, he said, shwey, Arabic, you speak Arabic. And so I was able to share with him again. And it was such a joy. And he said that he's been in the country just for 3 years, and he's never met a Christian. Isn't that sad? And we are a Christian country based on Christian principles. And he's never met a Christian. He said, I've never been in a Christian's home. I've never had a meal with a Christian. I think that's very sad. I've asked a Sikh fellow, a Hindu fellow, same things. We need to be praying that God will give us a deeper burden for Canada. Canada is changing rapidly. Muslims have a mandate. That mandate is that they, if they can reach London, England with Islam, they can reach the rest of the Western world. And everything we do in Canada is centered around Islam in many ways. They are having what they want, their field day. But folks, we need to stand up for Jesus Christ and in whom we believe, and proclaim the good news. Every day pray that God would lead us to hungry souls. Pray that we would have an opportunity to invite them into our church. I went to a Sikh temple in Dundas on Friday to arrange a trip. And I met this young man there who's just come over here, and he's the priest here. So I asked him very nicely. I said, so is your wife and family here? No, they're in the Punjab. He said, I'm here alone. I'm here for 4 years without my family, and I'm here to serve my gurus. 5 years, 4 years. Can you imagine that? How many of you ever met a Mormon? I'm sure many of you. They give 2 years of their lives to serve in Mormonism. And they go to countries around the world. They have the best language learning center in the world in Utah. And people go there, and within 9 weeks, they learn a language. And then they are sent to China, India, Africa, and down to Latin America. And they proclaim their message. Folks, we need to proclaim our message. The last thing here is, have faith that God will bless your efforts. We are praying for Canada right now. We are praying for the challenges. We are praying for people to come and to be part of this challenge. In Brantford, there's one in Niagara. And you can be part of this. You can be a missionary in your own country where you can learn about Hinduism, Islam, Sikhism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnessism, what they believe, so that you can be equipped to share your faith with the people around us. And that's what God wants us to do. Proclaim the good news. Proclaim what Jesus means to us. When we go down to Chile, that's what we do. With these children, with the adults, with the people, with the Cena de Amor, with the guerrilla evangelism, we share. Here in Canada, we need to share. Because if we don't share, I can guarantee you that Canada will be known as an Islamic state. And we have to be very careful. England today, where they used to send missionaries out to all parts of the world, today it has a lot of Muslims that's running the religious system in the country. And they are building the biggest mosque in Europe right in London. I'm sure you have a mosque here. If you don't have a big mosque, you probably have a house mosque where Muslims meet together and pray. London has a big one just down the road. Toronto has 170 mosques. 170 mosques. Folks, it's time for us to arise. It's time for us to go forward. It's time for us to proclaim that Jesus Christ is alive and well and is coming back again. Andrew was a connector. He didn't know it in the day. He went home from church and he told his brothers that he had found the Messiah. But that same brother would not stand on his feet on that day. But he still went and proclaimed the gospel. He went and told Simon. He went and proclaimed. When you connect your friends, your family, your neighbors, or colleagues to Jesus, leave the results up to the Lord. Let the Lord work in their hearts. It's very interesting. I've had many people say to me, "Are you here to convert me?" I'm not here to convert anybody. That's up to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to convert you. I'm here to proclaim. I'm here to connect you. I'm here to bring you closer to know Jesus. And I want to challenge you this morning. Will you be a connector? Will you be a connector for Jesus? Will you say, "Here, my Lord, send me. Here, my Lord, use me." Will you be a connector today to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ? Let's pray, shall we? Every eye closed, nobody looking around. Are you willing to say, "Lord, I'm willing to be a connector. Lord, I want to be a connector." If you want to be a connector today, please raise your hands and put it down so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over this auditorium, people are saying, "I want to be a connector. I want to be a connector for Jesus." Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. And I pray, oh God, that you will indeed help us to be connectors for you. It's not easy to be a connector, Lord. It's difficult, and we realize it's difficult. But Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll give strength and boldness to those who raise their hands today in saying, "Yes, I want to be a connector. Yes, I want to go forward. Yes, I want to proclaim the gospel. Yes, I want you to be number one in my lives." Father, I pray that you'll indeed bless them and encourage them and strengthen them to go forward. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.